You like coconuts?
Yes.
How long would it take you to pick 10 coconuts?
I don't know. To
Well,
pick 10 coconuts, it would
yeah.
be climbing a tree, probably a couple hours, right?
Okay,
10?
fine, fine.
Yeah, an hour, a couple of hours.
Okay, but I don't care what number you pick, a couple hours. How long does it take you to eat a whole coconut? Have you ever eaten more than an eighth of a coconut at one time?
Probably not. It's mostly like coconut milk and, stuff like that.
Right, coconut meat is very dense, high-energy food, and so you get an awful lot of energy for your couple of hours of work. Okay, now have you ever been fishing?
Yes. Not really a fan, but yes.
Okay, so if you made a net, and people can make nets, obviously, and you went out and you threw your net and you got what? 10 fish, pick the number 10. How many fish do you eat at once?
One.
One or less, probably. And so 10 fish would last you how many days?
Ten.
Or, it would last you quite a
Twenty.
long time. Or it would feed a bunch of people, right?
Right.
Have you ever dug potatoes?
Nope, but I sure know my ancestors did.
Okay, well, I've dug potatoes, and you put the spade in the ground or the digging fork in the ground, and you turn it over, and nothing. Okay, then you take the next one and you get three or four potatoes. And the next one, you figure out where the row is and you get another three or four potatoes. So, how long do you think it would take to get, I don't know, a 10-pound bag of potatoes? A few
A
minutes?
few minutes.
A few minutes, okay. So, how long would it take you to eat 10 pounds of potatoes?
I love potatoes, so probably, like a week.
All right, so look, in 10 minutes, you got a week's food. Okay, so if somebody gets coconuts and somebody else gets fish and somebody else gets potatoes, it doesn't take very much time and effort to get enough food for this group of people to eat and live and be happy for quite a long time.
You kind of skirted the personal, though. Did you ever have a group of friends where you just went out and you have a memory of talking about physics and astrophysics while you were around the campfire and while you were just in community together in nature?
Absolutely. Now let's just talk about obvious things like rainstorms and thunder and lightning. Okay, and then suppose it's a clear night and you talk about the stars, and then all of a sudden you see a meteor. Wow. How do you figure out what that is? Assume it was before Newton and before gravity was understood. What are these things? Are they gods going across the sky? Are they omens of good luck or omens of bad luck? And here comes a comet. Oh my goodness, what is that? There's this strange light in the sky that's got this bright end and that's got this fuzzy tail to it, and it goes across the sky. It's not a star, it's not a planet. What is it? So those are the kinds of questions that you normally would just run into if you were sitting around a fire.
But were there any particular physics concepts that were discussed?
Many, 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 many. One of the things that happened, there was a weekend. It happened to be a Memorial Day, Labor Day weekend, and it was very heavy rain, and the lake where I was, the river that fed the lake, flooded. And so a lot of trees and branches and leaves came flooding down this river into this lake. And when that happens, the leaves and branches tend to stick together and make a path of leaves and trees and branches that go down the lake and flow out. And so here's your lake, and all of a sudden there's this streak of all this stuff from the woods going down the lake. Now, what caused that? Obvious physics question, obvious discussion. And in the Albany area, there was a lake here long, long time ago, and that meant the sediment came down, made flat places. If you see flat places, typically they are the bottoms of river valleys or lakes where sediment has settled to make good land for farming.
So there's rich soil there where that sediment has landed.
Yes, and Ida Lake is a lot shallower than it used to be because of that sediment. And wouldn't it be fun to get some of that sediment for our gardens? It would be great soil. I want some.
In our final moments, do you feel like community and togetherness was really a part of your entire, not only education as a physics professor and as a solar boat builder, but also just as a human being.
Oh, no question about it. When you go to school, you go to school and there's a teacher and a student, and that doesn't change from kindergarten to graduate school. But when you are growing up, I grew up in the summers in the Adirondacks, and there wasn't this teacher-student, and you were just living, and if you needed something, you either figured out how to get it or you asked somebody how to get it, because where I was, there was no road, no electricity. And so to get things to happen, you pretty much used human power to get things to happen. And if you're using human power and you have to move a stump out of the way, you dig with a shovel, and then you use pry bars, and then you use levers, and then you use ropes and pulleys and try to get the stump out. And you learn a lot because it's hard work pulling a stump.
So that's why probably you and your wife were not afraid to cold bend that wood to make the solar cell.
Well, yeah, I was in boats before I was a year old. So, you know, boats are just one of those things that people near water do normally. You know, if you're a kid, you build a raft. If you are trying to get from here to there, you build a sailboat. This is before steam and gasoline. You build a sailboat to get from here to there.
So one last question, which is really two questions in one. So do you have a deep affection for the Adirondacks? Like, do you feel most at home on planet Earth when you're in the Adirondacks?
Simple answer is yes.
Okay. And then secondly, this is kind of unrelated, but I'm hoping that maybe on another episode of Equality Under the Law of Practical Physics, you would expand upon this. I have a friend who just said to me that he thinks that Troy, New York, and upstate New York is one hurricane away from a lot of people from the big cities coming up to Troy and the Adirondacks to snatch up properties and to really fully face the climate crisis. Do you agree with that?
The simple answer is yes, I agree with that, but it's a complex question, and we could get into that another time.
Okay. Do you have any final physics news for us?
Final physics news? I'm working on another boat.
Do tell.
Oh, no, that's for another time.
Obviously a solar boat.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay, are you ever going to sail it on Lake George?
Possibly.
Okay. Is this a commercial passenger boat?
The first one is more expensive. This is a different kind of boat, and the first one is more experimental than commercial, but yes.
And will the residents of Troy, New York see the commercial passenger solar boat on the Hudson River coming up into Troy from Kingston in the summer 2019?
That is the hope and the tentative plan, yes.
Okay. Can I bring my harp aboard?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Borton.
It's always a pleasure, Megan.
Thank you.